Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, February 17th, 7:32 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Gerald Persbacher. He's the editor of the Lutheran Layman Good Newspaper and also founder of the International Lutheran Layman League's Archives and organizational archivist. And also founding leader of the German Special Interest Group here in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Persbacher.
Well, good morning. It's a much better morning than yesterday, I'll say that, much weather-wise.
It was rough yesterday, man, wasn't it? Well, tell us about, you've been archiving history for quite some time now, and involved in an exhibit at the Missouri History Museum. Let's talk about your study of Germany and German culture and the immigrants that made their way here to what we now call the Midwest in the United States.
Well, many people don't realize it, but the largest special group in America, if you will, are the Germans. In other words, ancestry is really deeply German in America. As many as 25 to 30% of all America has German roots. And it's interesting in the St. Louis area, which also includes major portions of the east side over in Illinois, we have a concentration that's even higher. It's approximately 35 to 40% have German heritage. And of those people, half of those come from the Hessian area, which is a little unusual. It's the strongest Hessian enclave in North America. And one of the things that took place in 1834 was a group of people came over to America from the Hessian territories, and they wanted to make this the new Germany, especially to make Missouri the new German state. And they had great ideals, and they had great ideas, and they had some money behind it, and they had a lot of energy and drive. That group was called the Giessen Emigration Society, and the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park is saluting their effort in the St. Louis area and points slightly westward along the Missouri River in a special exhibit called Utopia. And it's quite something else to see. Now, that was not the first group to come to America, especially to St. Louis as a German group, but it was probably the best well-organized among them all. And this is several years before the Saxons came up to the St. Louis area in 1839 and 1840.
And so what led to the big move, the immigration? Why, as you mentioned, the Hessian group and then the Saxons, why come here and build this, well, as the exhibit calls it, a utopia?
There are several reasons. The first is freedom. There was less and less freedom in Germany. More things were being taken away in the way of privileges and even rights. And people said, we need to move. We need to find a land where we can spread our wings and go and grow like we would like to. There were also religious reasons. And there were also family reasons. Sometimes families were dirt poor. They just could not scratch a living in Germany. So some of their relatives came to America to see what they could do. And that created a chain emigration where one relative told the other by letter, and then they would also come over to America. So the reasons are various. There are also some reasons where people were trying to escape debt or escape threat. Some individuals in 1848, for example, were involved in an uprising, and quite a few of those people ended up being very involved with the Union forces during the Civil War in stabilizing St. Louis and Missouri so it did not leave the Union during that war. So all these reasons keep popping up, and there are probably 20 or 30 smaller reasons, but those are the main ones. And why St. Louis, you might be asking or wondering? Mm-hmm. It's because St. Louis reminded them, the Hessians especially, of the Rhineland, with the Mississippi River and the Missouri coming in. It was a moderate climate that they were used to, and also they liked oak trees. Now, you may wonder, Andy, why they liked oak trees. Well, they liked them because wherever an oak tree grew, a nice big oak tree, the ground, the topsoil, it was usually at least 30 feet deep, which meant farmers had a real good go of it if they would choose that good land.
And so here in the St. Louis area and even a little bit west of the St. Louis area, we get a little bit further west out toward Augusta and Dunzhou and places like that, we see a lot of Germans settled in this area. Did they find what they were hoping for? As you mentioned, the land here reminded them much of their home, the Rhineland.
Yes, and even beyond the Rhineland, but especially the Rhineland, because most of the travelers had to go down the Rhine to reach a port or another river to reach a port, so they liked rivers. They also knew where there were rivers, there was power to turn mills, and they could have a business. And it's interesting why they really chose the St. Louis area. First of all, this was the farthest point west in migration at that point in American history. We're talking about the 1830s. After St. Louis, it really became open territory, and nobody knew what would happen. There are all sorts of reasons that the Germans came over, and I'll be making a series of four presentations at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park beginning March 15th, and that will talk about the German rush to America and why Americans welcomed the Germans and how Germans prepared for the trip, especially to come to this part of America. And future events, there's one on June 16th talking about Germans in the making of America, and September 15th about German Americans amid wartime, which will go back to the Civil War, maybe even the Revolutionary War, and then bring it up to more recent wars. And finally, December 15th, German-American holiday celebrations. Now, these are tentative ideas that we're pursuing, and the museum has opened its doors to have all sorts of people come in and learn more about German heritage and German influence, especially in our area. So I encourage individuals to contact the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park for more details as the year progresses.
Let's talk about the Utopia exhibit, revisiting a German state in America, and that's going on until April 19th, if I understand correctly.
That is correct, and it's free to the public. You can go in there and get a real sense for what it took for people to decide to leave and why they came and where they settled and what they did after they came here. There are quite a few descendants from that group, and some of them are my friends, and they didn't even know they were descended until some people told them, you need to check into this exhibit. There is also some documentation there that if individuals are not sure if they have a connection to the Giessen Immigration Society or not, they can come to the site there at the History Museum and do some hands-on immediately, and they might just find some links that they're looking for.
Very interesting. Now, and you mentioned this is a free exhibit at the Missouri History Museum. What would you find as you go through this exhibit? You mentioned an opportunity to see if you personally have a connection, some
yes,
ancestry
you
there.
You have that opportunity. You also can talk to some experts. There are tours given at least once a week, maybe even more. Doris Keevan Franke from the St. Charles Historical Society and Genealogical Area up there is very, very prone to help people. She comes down and spends a lot of volunteer effort at the museum with this exhibit because she was one of the area-wide contributors to setting this up. But it was really an exhibit put together by Germans who wanted to trace not their ancestry, but just the idea of Germans leaving and creating a new stable society in North America. And so they traced the progression of that group from Germany all the way to St. Louis and what happened along the way, and again, what happened afterwards. It really is an eye-opener, because many people want to forget German heritage. I think in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we don't necessarily have that inclination, but some people, because of two world wars, are trying to live down a German negativism, and I don't think we need to worry about that anymore. Those wars are long gone, and what we're looking for now is a positive aspect of the German wholesome element in America.
You bring up a good point that at the time of the world wars, what did the Germans in America encounter? What was when it came to German culture in America? What were they facing? Like, what were the there was a fear among them about embracing their. Well, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties. We'll try to get back in touch with Dr. Pirschbacher here. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversations right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's jennyw@kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are talking with Dr. Gerald Pershbacher, editor of the Lutheran Layman, a good newspaper and founding editor or founding leader of the German Special Interest Group. Dr. Pershbacher, before we went to break, we were talking about the life of German immigrants after the World Wars. What was, well, at the time of the wars, what was life like for them culturally here in the United States?
In certain areas, it could be very rough depending on the amount of German emigrants that were in that area or descendants of Germans in that area. A good example is South St. Louis and some areas of North St. Louis and little pockets here and there. You had some German enclaves. And as people would then center their lives around, usually around a church, they could still appreciate their Germanness. So you had, brat suppers and sauerkraut and all sorts of good stuff like that, and people enjoyed that. But there were some other Americans that didn't appreciate it at all, and they would cast all sorts of aspersions toward people about these kraut eaters and these brats, or really brats and things like that. You can only almost imagine what some of the conversations were. So it became a defensive time and a quiet time, and some of the people said, we came over here to get away from the difficulties in Germany. We don't need to live here and face new incidents like this. So then they took a very quiet aspect. Some even forgot they were German, or they tried to erase that from their family lineage. Some even changed their names. Many did not. Many just kind of knuckled under and tried to get through it. But it was not an easy time during those two world wars and slightly thereafter. Yet, we had a President Eisenhower, and he has Hessian roots. So there you go. That's a German that made it into the presidency right after World War II.
How do you, from your perspective, how did this German immigration shape American society and culture, especially for St. Louis and for Missouri?
The whole idea of democracy can be traced to two strong influences by the early fathers of America, including people like Ben Franklin and John Adams and so forth, and Jefferson also. These individuals wanted to study the Iroquois nations. There was a confederation of the Iroquois, and the way that they handled their affairs as a nation within a larger country was very admirable, and it was very successful. They also studied the Holy Roman Empire of the Germans, and we always have to add of the Germans, because there was a German nation that went on way before the country of Germany was formed in 1870-71, and that was the Holy Roman Empire of the Germans. It was called the German Empire. And those individuals contributed immensely to the way in which we look at democracy today. In fact, much of Western civilization is rooted in German principles and German heritage, including all the nations of Western Europe. They have one German influence or another, from Spain to Great Britain to France, and we could go into more detail. But I'd rather talk about things like that at some of the presentations I'll be making at the History Museum that I mentioned before. I will say this much, though, Andy. There is a group called the Germanic Genealogy Special Interest Group here in the St. Louis area, and I'm very deeply involved with that. There will be an event held on March 17th on German churches in St. Louis. It will be administered by Scott Hall, who is involved deeply with the library system in the county, and he'll be making a wonderful presentation on these German churches, some of which will be Lutheran, some of which will not. And there are other presentations that follow. If anybody's interested in finding out more about that Germanic heritage, they could go online to ggsig.org. We call it ggsig.org, and they can find a whole wealth of information there.
Well, very good, very good. And you have an event coming up down the road as well for those interested in seeing Germany.
Certainly. This is going to be a trip that is really off the beaten track. It's special. It'll be in mid-June of 2016, so that's a little more than a year away. It'll be 11 days. We'll go to Wittenberg, to Leipzig, to Eisleben, to Erfurt, to Eisenach, to Coburg, to Worms, to Rhein, to Mainz. I speak with a little German, you know, so there's some activity here. But we're also going to be looking at taking two special excursions toward what's called the Saalburg, which is the largest and most significant Roman fort recreation in Germany, in fact, in all of Europe. And it's right along the border between where the Germans were and where the Romans had their empire in Germany. That'll be just north of Frankfurt. Also, there's a place called Hessen Park, which is kind of like a greenfield village where buildings from all over the Hessian territories have been brought together, including a full-sized windmill with its wonderful canvas blades. And there'll be reenactors there. It's just going to be phenomenal. That'll be in June of 2016. And if anyone would like more information on that, they should call a lady by the name of Pat. And her number is 314-223-1224. That's 223-1224. And Pat can give them more details on that. It'll be a great tour. I will be leading it. I will be talking about 2,000 years of Germanic history and the reforming of Germany, not just with the Reformation, but in reforming many other ways, socially, economically, and militarily, and also peace-lovingly.
Why study history? Why study this immigration? Why is this important to you, and why do you think it would be important to others to study?
If we don't realize one thing, we will fall prone to difficulties in the present and the future, and that is that history is a launch pad for the present and the future. We build on history. All the inventions up to this point continue to be built upon. All the sociological and ideological aspects, for example, of German history, we continue to build on. I mentioned before the idea of democracy. We continue to go forth with that in ways that are truly American but are still rooted in a German principle. We will be prone to falling into a lot of difficulty if we don't recall the pitfalls of the past also and try to avoid those as we move forward into the future. So history by itself is not meant to be dusty and drab and boring. It's meant to be alive because we all probably had ancestors that lived through some of that history. And if we want to know what they went through, we have to do some digging through books, through documents like the pieces that people will see in Utopia, and just see some visions from the past and put ourselves into the place of those people and realize how they were pioneers when they came here and risked life and limb and fortune to establish their families in this great new land.
And let's revisit some of the dates and the presentations you'll be giving at the Missouri History Museum as well over the next few months.
Yeah, on March 15th, it will be the German Rush to America. And on June 16th, it will be Germans in the Making of America. These can be seen and explored separately. This will be a PowerPoint presentation each time. But if you want to get a whole stream of thought, it's great to go to as many as possible. September 15th, the German Americans amid wartime. And then December 15th will be German American holiday celebrations. That's all at the History Museum in Forest Park.
Well, very good. And for more information on that, we can visit the Missouri History Museum website mohistory.org, and you can find information on the Utopia exhibit there, revisiting a German state in America, and that's going on through April 19th, but you can also check out the presentations here from Dr. Pirschbacher as well.
If I could add, Andy, those presentations are free. It doesn't cost a dime to go to any of those presentations. And the last time I made one was just a few weeks ago, and there were 150 people. It was standing room only, and that was the capacity of the room, and some people were turning away at the door. So if people are interested in going, I would suggest that they set their plans in advance and contact the museum.
Very good. Very good. And that could be a good family event, a good field trip as well.
Definitely. There's a lot of hands-on stuff for the children in the Utopia exhibit, plus the other exhibits there at the History Museum. It's always a lively site to visit, and it really just brings history back to life, and it's something that we don't really want to forget.
Very good. And Dr. Pirschbacher, I've just enjoyed the conversation and the history that you've shared with us, and certainly visiting the Missouri History Museum and hearing some of the presentations will be helpful. Any other resources, other things that you've been working on you'd like to share with us today as we wrap up our conversation?
I will encourage individuals to do study and research at the different major libraries. A lot of times there's some online free sources that you can use, and it doesn't cost you a dime to do that, of course. What I'd also say is if anybody's interested in Lutheran Aura Ministries history, especially in the 65th year since the passing of Walter A. Meyer, they might want to call me at 317-4175. That's 317-4175, and I can talk to them about what we can help them with in searching the Lutheran Aura Ministries archives, which I think is the second largest archives within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
How exciting, interesting stuff. Well, we can certainly check those out as well. Dr. Pirschbacher, thanks so much for being our guest today. Editor of the Lutheran Layman Good Newspaper, founder of the International Lutheran Layman's League Archives and organizational archivist, and also providing some presentations at the Missouri History Museum and involved with the Utopia exhibit there, revisiting a German state in America. Dr. Pirschbacher, thanks for being our guest today on His Time.
Thanks so much, and God bless to all.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today we'll study with Pastor Daniel Olson from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Luxembourg, Wisconsin. We're going to get into John chapter 6 today. Hope you can join us for that study and more. Coming up during the 9 o'clock hour, we have morning prayer. And it is Tuesday. We've got a ministry highlight coming up at 8:45. Hope you can join us for that. As we take a look at Lutheran schools, today we're going to go international. We're going to head over to Concordia Lutheran International School in Shanghai. Hope you can join us for that conversation as well with Terry Schmidt from Lutheran School Ministry here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. More His Time coming up right after this break right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.